I've owned and operated various small businesses since I was 21 years old. In today's episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'm going to talk about my plans on helping small businesses today. And if you have a small business, you're going to want to listen.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 76 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you checking out today's episode. And in today's episode, I want to talk about business. That is my background. I've been in business since I was 21 years old, and it's just something I like. It's, you know, when people say, what kind of podcasts do you listen to? You know, do you listen to comedy, drama? I listen to anything that has to do with business. I really don't listen to anything else, unless it's blindness related. And even to that extent, it's about tools to make things better for me, whether it's an app or a workaround for something else. It's what I like. And if you had to ask me what I like best, you know, when Liz comes back from the store and she says, oh, I got this, I'm like, oh, how much did that cost? What else was there? Was it on sale? You know, and so forth and so on. And it's just something I've always been interested in, knowing, you know, what one place sells something for to another place to another place. And in fact, when before I opened the West Coast video store that I had, one of the things that I did for my dad's friend, Mitch, when I worked in one of his markets, was go to other stores to check pricing to see how we compared to them. And I love doing that. First of all, because I was able to get out of the store and I got to go into another market and take a look around. And, you know, it was basically staples, you know, milk, eggs, bread, a couple of frozen items, basically staples, not stuff that may or may not be on sale. I think hamburger was on there. And I love doing it because I loved walking around the other stores. And even to this day, when I walk into a supermarket, not that I check prices, although I will pull out my phone occasionally and scan, you know, as I'm walking around with Liz, you know, to see what prices of things are. You know, sometimes it works well, you know, one of the apps I use on my phone to read the pricing on the shelves, and other times, excuse me, it doesn't necessarily work as great as it should be, or it gives me only a partial bit of the price because there's stuff in front of it or whatever, you know, the bag hanging down, whatever. But I always think about my dad as I go down, as we're walking down, like, let's say the back of the store, walking from the deli to the frozen area of the one market we go to. And don't get me wrong, I haven't been inside a supermarket in probably 10 weeks. Liz has been going on her own. I think it was March 12th or 13th was the last time I was in a supermarket. So, but when I walk along that back aisle, I think back to when I would be in one of my dad's stores, you know, looking up the aisles, looking to find him to see what he was doing and see if he needed me to do anything or, what I could help with or, something like that. And just seeing all the different things that are going on now with, you know, businesses not able to open, or they could open but only have people in by appointment in a retail store. You know, meanwhile, Target has, you know, I think the Target that Jacob works, I think the capacity, they could have 400 people in it at any one time. It's just unreal what a small business has to go through today. And I know so many are just not going to make it. So I'll get to that in a second. But there are a few things that I want to share in the meantime. And one of them is, you may hear me move suddenly back and forth here. Our building here in Swarthmore, the condo building, the entire building, not just our unit, but there is some sort of fly infestation. And we just can't get rid of them. And just like the president of the United States can't get rid of coronavirus, I, as president of the condo board, just can't get rid of the flies. So I won't be running again on that platform as, hey, I got rid of the flies, because we just can't. I mean, they are everywhere. And it is just so annoying. If you could picture those commercials that come out, especially around the holidays when they're looking for donations for, you know, those, I primarily remember as a kid, they were African countries, and they would show a little kid, you know, having something to eat, and there'd be bugs walking all over. That's what I feel like. You know, we were watching TV the other night, and we've been watching Breaking Bad, by the way. We never watched that. And from what I understand, now it is available with audio description. So if you need to have audio description to watch Breaking Bad, and you do, my audio description are Jane and Liz. You know, you can go check it out. It is on Netflix. We had borrowed the DVD set from a friend of ours and started watching. And, you know, like I said, now it's on Netflix, so it's a little easier to get to and start an episode rather than get up and pop a disc in and so forth and so on. But we were watching that the other night, and we're sitting there. And I sit very close to the TV, so there's that heat source that's right in front of me. And I am just doing this, what looks to be either having an epileptic seizure or, you know, some sort of crazy dance, trying to swat the bugs away from me as they're crawling on my bald head and they're crawling on my arms. It is just awful. And I was talking to the office manager yesterday who was complaining about them. And when I went down to the office, you know, she's saying, I've got, you know, there's got to be a dozen of them dead right here on my desk now from me swatting at them, she said. And someone else came in and talked about it. So if you hear that, that's Studio C has got a lot of bugs. And there are these flies, and we're trying to figure out a way to to get rid of them. So if you know how to get rid of flies, you know, in a... not humane, because I really don't care how they die. I just don't want to poison anybody else. You know, if there's a PETA for bugs, you know, come at me, because I just want to get rid of all of them that are in here. So you may hear me, you know, jostle about. And and the other thing that I want to bring up before I get into the meat of the of the episode, you know, when I was setting everything up, you know, and I was creating the new folder for all the goods that go into this episode, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, this is episode 76, and it's primarily going to be about business and how we could help small business. And I couldn't help but think of my friend Chris Dougherty. You know, I went to a Sixers game with him. At the end of January, he invited me to a game, and he was a big fan of the show, and he would always text me, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, and he died about a month ago. But there's always these little things that keep popping up, and I thought, oh my gosh, here it is. Episode 76 is going to be about business. He was on the Media Business Authority board, which Media Pennsylvania is where we used to live. And his office, his insurance office, is located there. And I just couldn't help but think, look, it's episode 76, and I'm talking about business, because we would talk about business, you know, when at the Sixers game, we talked about it and things that we're doing and things that he was doing and so forth. So, there's just always something that is there to make me think about him. And again, we weren't, you know, he wasn't my best friend, but again, he loved the show. We texted fairly often. We would talk on occasion. The problem is when we talked, it was never a short conversation. If we could talk, if we talked less than an hour, it was because he had another call coming in that he had to take, that it was there was actual business that had to be done. So it's just, I think about him a lot as I do these episodes. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you know, I couldn't wait for him to hear that interview with Roy Samuelson from a few episodes back. And unfortunately he died right before that aired. So I never got feedback, and I just missed that, from him. You know, again, it's just something that, we have to move on from it. It's funny. I got a call, this past week from, the Willow Tree Hospice. That was the hospice company that, kind of did things for my mom, even though she was in Rose Court at Marist Grove, and I won't even get into that to that discussion with nonsense going on with them and some erroneous bills and whatever. But they called to see how I was, if I was holding up okay, how everybody was doing, to make sure, you know, if we had any, you know, grief. And as I've stated before here, you know, my mom, you know, she knew, we all had advance notice. She was suffering so greatly that while I do miss her, and same thing, I mean, we talk about when something happens, you know, well, like, well, oh, my mom, you know, would have liked that, or, oh, my mom would have had an issue with that. Or if I see a commercial for NCIS, oh, you know, my mom would have liked that episode. Or, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, Miss Fisher's Murders was having a movie. I don't know if it's out yet or coming out. And she was waiting for that. And sadly, she won't get to see it. But, you know, so I think about her all the time. But her death and Chris's death, so very different, again, because Chris's death was shocking. And, again, I talked to my mom every day. You know, towards the end, I was actually with her every day for the last, you know, month or two. But Chris, it's different because, you know, we were very active and doing things. You know, my mom was pretty much, you know, watching TV. You know, we talk about that or talk about news events or whatever. So it is just different. So, you know, to be episode 76 and think about the Sixers and being with Chris that night at the game, and, you know, it was a nice night, and then we had a little something to eat after. You know, it just makes me think of him, and just makes me miss him a little bit more. But let's get back into the business, which Chris, I'm sure, would want me to do at this point. And as I see the governor of New Jersey complaining that he needs all sorts of money because he's got to keep everything running, I couldn't help but think, you know, all these businesses, and I don't know if you've seen, there was a gym in South Jersey. I don't remember exactly where, but they just couldn't stay closed anymore. They needed to have some sort of money coming in. Look, you're 3 months into this, so you have 3 months of rent that you have to pay. You have no money coming in. What, you know, yeah, I guess it definitely is a risk, but what's the alternative? Yeah, I get it that the state of New Jersey, if they have to start laying off people, that's going to affect a lot more people. But a business to a person, a small business to that business owner, to that entrepreneur, is their entire world. It is everything to them. And for them to stay closed, I just couldn't imagine. And I'll get into Salon Supplies and Interiors in a minute, which was the business that Liz and I had for probably 7 to 8 years, 10 years, whatever it might be. You know, I just can't imagine these businesses, how they could, you know, thinking back to the video store, you know, the video store, it was very cyclical. Spring and fall, terrible times to rent videos. People, you know, once back to school happened, it was, you know, kids had homework, so they weren't coming to rent movies. You know, and then things would turn around a little bit come Thanksgiving. You know, there'd be a little bump in rentals. And then in December you had, you know, we sold movies too, so you'd have that. And then once January got there, January to March, outstanding. People would come out of the woodwork to rent movies because it was cold out. They would get it on their way home, get a couple of movies, go home. They were in for the night. That was it. Then come springtime, you know, mid to late March, you know, it's getting nice out. Kids are going outside to play. You know, people are doing stuff outside because it's, you know, warming up. And then once the kids got out of school, boom, we had another, you know, all summer long. It was great because people had vacations and so forth and so on. They had time off and they were able to come out and, you know, rent movies, or they'd come in from on their way home from the pool or whatever. So it was very cyclical. So in theory, if your business was cyclical, and, you know, I was thinking about places down at the beach, you know, from where I am here in Studio C in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, we're about I don't know how many miles, about 75 to 90 minutes from a lot of the South Jersey shore communities. So, you know, so there, you know, that's where we would go when we would go down to the beach. Most likely we would go down to the Jersey Shore. Sometimes we would go to Ocean City, Maryland, sometimes, you know, to the Delaware beaches, but primarily to the South Jersey Shore, whether it's Sea Isle City, Ocean City, Atlantic City, if we weren't actually going on the beach and just, you know, going to walk the boardwalk and maybe, you know, get something good to eat. There's plenty of good restaurants there because of the casinos. A lot of the big chefs from, you know, both New York and Philly have places down there. So I was thinking they were talking about allowing, you know, hotels and motels to start having guests again. And I was thinking, you know, maybe it wasn't horrible for them that they weren't open for the last few months. Sure, they lost out on some income because they would have had some occupancy. But the fact that they're opening up now, and I think it's the 30% capacity, the fact that they're opening up now, at least they are going to be in it for their high season, you know, for the summer. And they'll have some money coming in. And they you know, wherever I heard this on, I don't remember if it was radio or TV, they had interviewed a owner who has a hotel, I think it was in Wildwood, New Jersey. And, you know, they were talking about, well, you know, it's going to bring some money in. And, you know, to go, so hopefully those folks, you know, because they knew it was going to be their slow time, you know, after, you know, from March. And again, I don't know what kind of traffic a hotel or motel gets, you know, from March to, you know, to Memorial Day, you know, and I guess it would have been better had they been shut down maybe, you know, from, you know, January 8th to, you know, middle or end of March. But at least it wasn't during the high season. So, you know, they may have been able to plan, but there's other businesses where, you know, tuxedo rental places, they showed a tailor on the news the other night. And, you know, he missed out. Their busiest season is prom and wedding, which, you know, prom obviously from, you know, end of March or early April through till June is their busy season for that. You know, people coming to get to rent tuxes for weddings, for the proms. And so they missed it. They're, you know, imagine a retail store being closed for from Black Friday through till New Year's. I mean, they just missed it. So I just can't imagine, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, they, you know, yeah, they're going to be open. Hopefully they're going to open up after, you know, once they're allowed to again. But what are they going to do? How are they going to survive? They've missed out on what pays the bills for a good chunk of the year. And so I was thinking about it as I was watching these folks. And if you're a longtime listener and you've listened to more than a couple of episodes, you know, I really don't have any kind of advertising other than telling you to, when you want to buy something from Amazon, I'd appreciate if you used my affiliate link. It doesn't pay me a lot, but it pays me something. And, you know, if you're just, you know, browsing the internet and you think, oh, I need to buy something from Amazon, you could always just enter in your address bar, icantseeyou.com/Amazon. You'll go to Amazon. If you buy something, I'll get a little commission depending on what it is you buy. And, you know, that's the only kind of the only kind of sponsorship I've really had. And I thought, what could I do to help folks who have small businesses like this? And originally I thought, well, you know what I could do? I could offer to tweet about their business. I have a few followers, a little over 3,000. I'm not the blind blogger Max Ivy, who has 30,000. That would be great. It'd be even better. But I have 3,000, and you know what I want to do to help folks. And again, my Instagram following, not very many. So again, David Benj on any of the social media platforms. Trying to grow Instagram a little bit. But what I thought I would do was offer to tweet and post on Instagram to help businesses out. Tweet their address and, you know, a little bit that they do. Obviously, with Twitter, you don't have a lot of space, but you have something. And again, I'm in suburban Philadelphia. It doesn't matter if you're in Tampa or Poughkeepsie or Duluth. you know, or Phoenix, wherever your business is, you know, let me hear from you and I'll be happy to help out. Contact me via email. ICANTCUpodcast@gmail.com. ICANTCU. Remember, sounds like a sentence, but it's only seven letters. ICANTCUpodcast@gmail.com. And then I started thinking, well, what if I had an ad or two on each podcast episode over the next couple of weeks or months, you know, as places start opening back up? And I thought, well, I could do a cold read, as they say in the in the radio business. I don't know how I would do a cold read, to be honest with you, but I'd be happy to try. You know, I don't use notes, and I think it's pretty obvious when you listen to me that I don't have any notes in front of me, or I'm reading nothing, because I can't read and not sound like one of Liz's students. And that's not a knock on any of Liz's students. They're from, you know, about 3 years old to 6 years old. So, you know, just imagine how you read when you were that age. So what I thought, then I continued to think about it, and I thought, well, what if I let you tell the story about your business? And that could be done simply by calling the number that people call in to leave comments and questions and whatnot for me. And to do that, you can call 646-926-6350, 646-926-6350. You have up to 3 minutes to leave your little spot on the message. I'd prefer it to be less than that, though. If you could keep it to like a minute, maybe a little over, that'd be great. And if you can see, if you could write something out to make it sound a little better so there's not a lot of editing required on my end, because editing for me is not the easiest, and I typically do as little as possible for each episode. My goal is to not do any, but there are some times that, you know, I might sneeze, and to be honest, I can't believe I haven't swallowed any kind of flies yet, and which makes me think of that book the kids read back when they were little, The Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly. But I've swallowed at least six in the last couple of days. A couple of them have been when I was taking a breath in to cough, and they were close to my mouth, I guess. But let's move off of that. So if you have a business, a small business, you know, if you're Coke or Pepsi or Hilton, you know, I will certainly run an ad for you here, but you're going to have to pay. If you're American Airlines, it'd have to be a lot of money, because you owe me money from when you made me miss half of the NFB convention last year. Not saying I would say no, but you'd certainly be paying a premium to advertise here. So if you have a small business, family business, and you want to have my listeners, and again, there's not a boatload of them, but there's some, I will combine that audio that will be inserted into the podcast, you know, starting with the next one, assuming I get some. If not, then I obviously won't put anything in. But I will also tweet about it, because I think that would be a little bit, work out a little bit better. And so if you don't want to record your voice and call 646-926-6350, if you just want to send me an email with some information, the business address, if you have a website, you know, if you're an online business, just online, I'd like to help. I get it, because I obviously have an online business with digital graphics design. And at the end, Salon Supplies and Interiors was just an online business. But I really, and I know that business is tough for all. If you have an online business and you're working from an office that's not your house, you know, you've got more expenses. And those are the folks I'd rather help first. I'm not saying I don't want to help you if you're a small business and it's a small family-run business and you've got whatever goods you're selling, you know, stacked up in your garage or in your spare bedroom. You know, I certainly want to help you as well. But the ones who will take priority are the brick and mortar retail, restaurant, places like that have just been shut down for the last 2 or 3 months, depending on what state you're in. Salons, I mean, that's, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I just don't know how, like, those places, you know, some of them here in Pennsylvania, you know, in southeastern Pennsylvania, you know, I'm in, you know, almost in the southeasternmost corner, you know, Delaware, the Delaware state line is only around 10 miles from where I'm sitting right now. You know, they're still closed. Salons can't open. Barbershops can't open. So, you know, I'd be happy to, you know, to try and help you guys out, tweet about it. And again, I can tweet about more than I can add, you know, have, you know, ads on the podcast. So please reach out to me. I really want to help you. If you know someone that has a salon, a retail location, a barbershop, a restaurant, you know, definitely, I can't see you podcast at gmail.com. Make sure you give me the particulars and I will tweet about it and post on Instagram about it. And, you know, and maybe, you know, we can link to it in show notes and things like that. And, you know, just, you know, especially if you have an online presence where you can actually sell online too, those backlinks will help you. So, and again, no, there is no fee for this. Obviously if it, if it gets out of hand, I might have to stop doing it, but for now, no fee. Call the number, leave a message about your business. You know, or if you just want me to tweet about it, I can't see you podcast at gmail.com. I will tweet and Instagram, you know, post on Instagram about it. And, unfortunately with Instagram, because I have so few followers, I'm not able to link to it, but I can put the URL in the description. You know, people would just have to copy and paste. So, you know, I really want to help out because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to, you know, to be in, to struggle. And, which that brings me to Salon Supplies and Interiors. We bought the business back in 2006 and I was so excited when we bought it and I was very enthusiastic about it. And, what the business was a kind of like two businesses in one. There was a beauty supply portion of the business and the beauty supplies, you know, hair color and shampoo and, shears and clippers. You know, when we bought the business, it was a few months after we ended up buying a pair of clippers, and clippers are those electronic things that you know, where you can shave your head with or style, you know, do the short haircuts. Since then, I don't think I've been to a barber since 2006 because, you know, Liz just, you know, does my hair now with, we use a, and we looked and they're sold out on Amazon. I think it's called, the Designer, and the name of the manufacturer is Wahl, W-A-H-L. And, I will link to it in the show notes. And again, if it is back in stock at Amazon, it will be an affiliate link. So if you buy one from Amazon, you know, I'll get a little something, something. But so there was that portion of the business, and then there was the beauty equipment, actually three types of businesses under the one roof. The beauty, the salon equipment, and the salon equipment, you know, barber chairs, styling chairs, shampoo bowls, all that sort of stuff. But the third part of the business, which was kind of cool, and part of, you know, that really drew me to, and it probably... It was probably also the reason that we couldn't sustain, you know, the business was because of this portion. We actually manufactured a lot of the equipment, not the styling chairs, but, you know, if you walk into a salon and you see a styling station, we made them. And basically someone could come in who wanted, you know, let's say they had a space and they were going to put in six operators. And in Pennsylvania, you can't rent a station. You can't rent it. So when, you know, a person came in from Pennsylvania, they would come in. They were going to be the owner. They were going to have each stylist was going to be. I don't remember if they were actually considered employees because, you know, and the split between stylist and owner ranged. If you had a big book, you had a lot of folks, and you know, you might get up to 60%. maybe even a little more if you were that good, if you brought in that much business, you might get 60% of whatever each of your clients' bills came out to. You know, if you were new, you know, maybe you got 35 or 40%. So they would come in and they would say, yeah, I need, you know, I have this space, it's X number of square feet, and I want to put in 6 operators, I want, you know, 2 shampoo bowls or 3 shampoo bowls, whatever it might be. And they would kind of say, well, I want a wall unit styling station. And, you know, we had all sorts of different, you know, looks. Or if they went into a salon and saw one and said, hey, I like this one, you know, we would say, well, just take a picture. And then one of our guys would draw it out. And, you know, we would get the dimensions that they wanted. You know, maybe they loved it, but the person, the manufacturer of that styling station only made it in, you know, 42 inches, but, you know, they didn't have enough room for 42 inches. They could only do it in, let's say, 38 inches. So they would come to us and we would build it in 38 inches, as opposed to having to buy the non-custom one right from the manufacturer. The other thing was, when we manufactured it, with several of the brands that we were distributors for on the equipment side, we could actually build the stations cheaper than I could buy them from those manufacturers. In one instance, I actually sold styling stations to someone that were cheaper than my cost from one of the manufacturers. So it just made sense for us to do it. But when things were slow, which happened in, you know, if you remember 2008, how things got, you know, pretty bad during the, what they termed the Great Recession, salons were closing left and right, so we didn't have a lot of, you know, new business. What we did have was, you know, the salons closing and we would buy the used equipment, or we'd get calls from the landlord saying, hey, I've got salon equipment in here, could you come take it out? And in some instances, we would get it for free. And, you know, on instances like that, if the stations were crappy, we might just take them and throw them right in the dumpster, but the chairs might have been good. The chairs were always, the used styling chairs were always a big seller. You know, if they were black, they were good to go unless the hydraulics didn't work and whatnot. But, you know, once 2008 came and all the salons started closing, we had, you know, we were running out of space for used equipment, and that's all we were selling, because what was happening was, when a salon closed, that stylist who worked in the salon maybe couldn't go and find another job somewhere, so they would do it out of their basement. We'd make them one station, get them one shampoo bowl, and sometimes we wouldn't even make the station. They'd buy something used, and for, you know, under $400 or $500, they'd have the whole setup, and, you know, sometimes we would install it, sometimes, you know, they would, you know, they would install it, or their husbands would install it, or whatever. But that, it got to the point where, because we weren't having any new business, we had to stop the manufacturing. So we did that in 2009. And in 2008 and 2009, it was very rocky, because not only was there the Great Recession, salons started closing left and right, in, I guess it was fall of that year, maybe it was towards the end of the year. Also towards the end of that year was, I had, the partial cornea transplant. So I had that to deal with. Our lease was up in the current place we were at, which was on a fairly busy street, in Ridley Township, called McDade Boulevard. But the guy was, you know, going crazy. It was almost doubling our rent. So we moved out and we had to find a new location in a hurry. And it was right after I had the surgery. So, you know, my vision, while it's terrible today, it was almost non-existent then, because the surgery was on my good eye and I had to wear, for the first week or two or whatever it was, I had to wear a shield, a hard shield, with all sorts of gauze and everything else and cotton and stuff on it. So I had no use of that eye. So I was, you know, completely blind, quote unquote, looking at, you know, different locations. We settled on a location that also had a big warehouse where we could do the cabinet shop, so we could make the equipment. It was big because at this point we were getting ready, or had already launched, foryoursalon.com. And I thought, wow, this would be great. We can start bringing stuff in and shipping it right from here. If I could buy in bulk, one of the manufacturers that we bought from was a company called Jade International. And it was an American husband and a Chinese wife. And the wife's family had a manufacturing plant in China. So it was just at the beginning of, you know, the equipment coming over from China. That had only started a year or two earlier. So some of the companies that were just ramping up, they were, you know, their styling stations were junk. We actually had one on our showroom floor. This is what you get when you order, you know, imported, you know, styling station. And it was basically like cardboard with laminate over it. I mean, it was just awful. Again, we weren't interested in the stations because we can make them. We were interested in the chairs. And this company, Jade, had chairs that they were not the crap that is some of the stuff that comes in even today from China. You know, the bases were pretty decent. He offered a one-year warranty on the bases. The chair tops were always in great shape. And, you know, so we would bring in quite a few of their chairs and, you know, we would sell through them like crazy because they were on the lower end of the price range, you know, budget friendly. And, you know, it was a great thing, but it was just something that in this new building, we had some issues and then we had some mold issues and things just, you know, from, you know, about 4 or 5 months in, it just went really south in a hurry. You know, there were multiple leaks in the roof. So some of the equipment, the furniture that we manufactured got damaged. You know, we had problems in the storefront that they had there. I had to hit pause for a second. I think I just swallowed another fly. It is just unreal. So we sold these chairs from Jade. Fortunately, the stuff that we were bringing in, whether it was from them or some of the other manufacturers that we sold, were in areas that we stored them in areas that didn't have any kind of issues with the water. Unfortunately, the storefront of the place had, you know, multiple leaks, and it got to the point it was so bad, mushrooms were growing out of the carpet, there was mold on the walls, and it was just brutal. And I contacted the landlord on multiple occasions, and they did absolutely nothing. And in fact, 1 month, they took out twice the rent. And I don't remember what the rent number was, but 1 month they took it out twice within like a week. And it was when I was complaining about, you know, some things, and and I remember talking to the secretary or whatever she was in the landlord's real estate guy's office. And I said, look, I said, you know, I'm complaining. And now all of a sudden you double dip on the rent. And she's like, oh, I, you know, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. It was just brutal. They never did anything about it. And we ended up moving out of there at the end of 2009. So we weren't even there a year. We had to get out. I mean, you know, people didn't want to come in. You know, first of all, it was more of an industrial area. So for a storefront, it was not the best place. Second of all, it was just awful. And I don't think anything has been in that location since we left back in December of 2009. You know, we got out of there in a hurry. And, you know, we packed everything up. And, you know, before that, we had to close down because things were so bad. We had to close down the manufacturing, you know, so we stopped making the furniture. I had to lay off the two guys that were, you know, doing that, the two cabinet guys. And the sad part was the one guy who was with the business, I actually bought with the, I didn't buy him. He came along when I bought the business, when Liz and I bought the business. You know, he also did on occasion, he did deliveries of not only the furniture, but he also did deliveries of the, you know, what we called the soft goods, the shampoo, the hair color, the whatnot. And we sold to, you know, not only salons, but we sold to nursing homes and places like that. So, you know, we had a, you know, usually Wednesday and Thursday we would do our deliveries. And then, you know, for the most part, Liz and I did the deliveries. And then, you know, if there weren't a lot of things, you know, Liz would take them on her own. And, you know, we covered a good chunk of Delaware County and even into Philadelphia on occasion. You know, some of the places would only order once a month. Sometimes they, you know, some places ordered every week. You know, and again, it was very cyclical. You know, people in the summer evidently don't like their hair getting, you know, they don't dye their hair in the summer. Because, you know, they're going to pool parties and barbecues and whatnot. So it's, you know, less formal. So again, once school started, you know, business just automatic. It was like almost like somebody turned on a spigot, you know, come Labor Day, you know, that week or two after Labor Day, all of a sudden business just, you know, would just pick up and it would keep going until New Year's. Then it would drop off a little bit and then pick up again, you know, like mid-March again for proms and weddings and that sort of stuff. So, you know, so when we got rid of the staff in the cabinet shop, we then still had, we had one other employee that also worked, and she worked the front, you know, she worked the store. She helped Liz with ordering and would, you know, process orders when they came in while Liz was out, you know, doing deliveries or, you know, doing something, you know, taking the kids somewhere. And, you know, that was that business was everything to us, you know, and, you know, when we had to let this, you know, the person from the storefront go, it then became difficult because when Liz was doing deliveries and I was the only other one that could work the, you know, work the cash register because the guys in the back didn't know how to do that. And, you know, that wasn't that wasn't their forte. You know, I couldn't see to, you know, to do everything. I wasn't the one, I didn't know much about most of the products because I concentrated on selling the salon equipment. That was the thing that I liked. Obviously it's a lot bigger. It was easier for me to see. And it was just easier. I couldn't just go up to, I just couldn't go up to grab a bottle of hair color off the shelf and say, oh yeah, you know, read the back and then, you know, kind of put it in layman's terms for a customer who may be in. And we did sell to the general public along with salons and the other folks that I mentioned. So I, you know, it was very little help. Now on weekends and, you know, during the summer, you know, Jane would come in. Now Jane was a kid. She was, 2009, she was, you know, she was around 12, but she knew the stuff. She knew the hair dryers, the, what we called blowers, because, you know, there were two kinds of hair dryers in our business. There's the handheld, you know, what we called a blower, and then there was the hooded kind that we just called dryers. So to differentiate, we called the handheld ones, you know, the blowers. So Jane knew all about that stuff. She's just, you know, and it's funny that she's in, you know, her industry is still beauty, to this day, you know, where she does, you know, PR from our living room right now. And, and she told us yesterday, she probably won't be going back into the office until September. So, looks like she'll be here over the summer, but she would come in, you know, and help out when Liz had to do deliveries. And, you know, she was a great help on the floor because she, you know, she knew the stuff. And there would be times that people would say, oh, this kid doesn't know anything. And, you know, when they would go to, maybe there was a stylist also in the shop looking around for something, and they would say, oh, are you a stylist? They, oh yeah. And then that stylist would say the same thing that Jane just told them. And then they would say, oh, okay. So when we got rid of the entire staff, and that was in September, you know, like I said, we were in there until December. So it was just basically Liz and I, especially once Jane went back to school, you know, so it was difficult, but it was, like I said, everything. We poured everything into it, just like any other business owner. You put your time in, and as much time as we put in, I mean, there were, you know, when things were like that, and Liz had a lot of deliveries, sometimes we would do deliveries on our way home. You know, we would be open till 5, and, you know, we would just do the deliveries on our way home. So we'd get home 7 or 8 o'clock, and we'd have to run over to, Liz's sister's house to pick up the kids because that's where they were, because, you know, it was 8 o'clock and, you know, she would get them off the bus or whatever, feed them dinner or whatever. So, you know, we missed a good chunk of them growing up because we were working from eight. Sometimes we'd work, 10, 12 hours a day and, you know, we'd see the kids at bedtime, you know, or in the morning when they were getting ready for school. And, you know, so you give up so much, you know, everybody makes it seem like owning your own business is glamorous and you're greedy because you make all this money, but you put everything that you have into it. And to see, you know, what folks are going through today, business owners are going through today. And, you know, that judge down in Texas that told that salon owner that she was selfish for opening her salon was just outrageous, simply outrageous, because she's got everything invested in it. She's got all of her money invested in it. We had all of our money invested into, you know, salon supplies and interiors. We're still paying off debt from it. And, you know, you put all your time in. It's, you know, besides your family, it's what you think about and the only thing you think about. You know, if you have to not only put everything you have into it and then borrow money to keep it running, because again, business is not a straight line. Some months you have good months and some months you don't. Sometimes there's extenuating circumstances like a pandemic that has the governor of your state closing down the business for 3 months. So what do you do? How do you survive? And, you know, we finally, once we moved out of there, we actually had to finish the story on salon supplies, we actually basically had a store in our basement for the beauty supplies. The salon equipment, some of the manufacturers, a good chunk of the manufacturers did drop shipping. So that didn't change too much. We just couldn't do a layout of a salon anymore. You know, that wasn't something I did. That was something that, what Scott did, he was one of the guys that worked for me. So when we let him go, that business went away, you know, doing a full salon, in the Philadelphia area. And we covered, you know, we made sales from, while we had the business, from Northern Virginia to probably Northern New Jersey. I don't think we ever went into New York. You know, primarily Pennsylvania, South Jersey, and Delaware was our territory that we covered. We did, there was a salon in Chestertown, Maryland that we did. And it might have been one or two others in Maryland. And again, like I said, there was one in Northern Virginia that we did. Again, when you put your business on the internet, you don't know where you're going to get information from and business from. And the Northern Virginia job was one that Scott did a layout for the salon owner. And they bought some equipment from us and they bought some from, you know, from somebody else. And I don't remember if we made stuff for her. I remember her name was Esther. Couldn't tell you where in Virginia. I just know it was Northern Virginia and her name was Esther. So I get, you know, what these people are going through. And again, to think of that judge or to think of Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, saying, you know, businesses are just going to have to wait. It's everything to them. It's, you know, it's just like, you know, with all this stuff going on, a lot of students, a lot of school age kids who have disabilities, whether they're blind or they've got something else going on, some of them have not been included, you know, in what is happening. You know, stuff is not accessible to blind kids in some states. And I don't remember the particular, so I'm not going to go into it. But, you know, you can't just throw that out the window. You can't say, well, you know, it covers 95% of the people, so it's okay. Why is it okay? Why is it okay that in New York or Pennsylvania, you know, you either have to have somebody fill out your mail-in ballot, you know, so somebody else knows who you're voting for, or you have to go to the polls where you can do it on your own, you know, with a, you know, so you've got to worry about, you know, if you're worried about going out. And again, you know, blind folks, we touch everything that we, you know, to feel around. I mean, that's how we're seeing. you know, why is it okay that, you know, they can be disenfranchised during this time or, you know, but, you know, I mean, you wouldn't tell a Jewish person that they can't go, they can't vote because you have to tell who somebody else your vote. You can't, you know, it's got to be the same for everyone. It's the same for everyone or it shouldn't happen. And, you know, in the businesses, you know, again, you know, Governor of New Jersey saying, oh, we've got some trouble and we're going to need X number of dollars. Yeah, so does every business. It's their life. It is their life. And so what if that goes out? What if one out of 10, I don't know how many small businesses there are in the U.S. What if one out of 10 closes? You know, some people, it's only a family. You know, maybe it's only going to affect a few people. But they're going to be in debt and they're not going to have a job. Because good luck finding a job now, because people that have jobs have been laid off. You know, I know talking with Jane and talking with some friends, you know, a lot of Jane's friends, you know, have been either furloughed or laid off because their industry is shut down. You know, Jane's been lucky because, you know, her company has continued to operate and she's had a job. In fact, you know, after some layoffs there, she's been working harder than ever. Some nights until 10, 11 o'clock at night. But she has a job, and that's what I keep telling her. Just keep doing it. It's a lot, but she keeps going. So how do you tell those business owners, whether you're that judge or the governor, say, well, you know, this is, you know, we need money too, the governor said. We need money because this is going to happen. I get it. I know, you know, and you got to have police and you got to have fire and whatnot. And I know that it's important, but when you're a small business owner, you have everything invested in that. You've invested your time, you've invested your money, and might be all your money, depending on how business was before everything. If things were rocky, and now you've been shut down for close to 3 months, how do you survive? And again, I don't know the answer. You know, I can only do what I can do, and like I said earlier, I would be more than happy to run a couple of ads during the podcast to support these folks, as well as, you know, post about them on social media. That obviously would be the easiest, and I would, you know, I could do that multiple times. So again, that's all I'm going to talk about with business. It just gets me a little excited, as you maybe can tell. And you know, whatever, if you have ideas for how you can help businesses or how maybe I could help them. Yeah, I'd like to hear from you. And again, if you have a business or know someone that has a business, 646-926-6350. And you have up to 3 minutes, but if you're leaving a message as an advertisement that you want me to run, try and keep it a little bit less than that. And you can certainly talk to me beforehand and then, you know, then save about a minute or so you know, for the ad, for the spot that we would run right here in the middle of the podcast. So, and, you know, again, you don't have to be from the suburban Philadelphia area or the Philadelphia area in general. You could be from South Florida, you know, Southern California, Northern Utah, wherever you're from. If you've got a small business and you need some help, I want to help. And same thing goes, you can also email me, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you. It's only 7 letters, but it sounds like a whole sentence. You can check out show notes for this episode, icantseeyou.com/076. And I really do appreciate you joining me. And I hope that once things start to reopen in your state, you will go out there and support these businesses that have been struggling. You know, I can't imagine how many of them are on the brink. So please help them out however you can. And if you're looking for work, you know, I hope you can find something, and hopefully as things start to open up, you'll be called back to your former job because that's the one you know best. And again, I appreciate you listening to episode 76 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, @DavidBenge on all the socials. Please hit me up there. If you have any questions or comments, you can do that as well. Thanks again for listening. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is @DavidBenge.